Let's say nobody knows, like, sure. Who the hell are we? Why do we love escape rooms? I guess, like, who are we?
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us. Welcome in, Escape Breakers, to the first episode of 2024. My name is Ezekiel Kajakai, and I have Tatiana Abaro on the other side of the mic. What's up, Tati?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's the new year for you?
It's freaking cold, but it's going.
It is cold. It's cold, it's chilly. And on the hot seat today, we have Beth Dybel. Hey, Beth.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. It's a new year. Same old me.
Nice. No need to change. Just as good as you are. So today's episode, for anyone tuning in for the first time, we're predominantly an escape room podcast. But today, by popular demand, we're going to begin the year with some getting to know us questions, really. What we've done is each one of our counterparts here on the show has drafted a myriad of questions that range from silly to escape room related to personal questions. And we've even allowed our listeners to submit some questions through our social media to ask us almost anything. So I have some wild and crazy questions for each one of you. Today's episode is focused on the woman with no rival. It is Beth Dybel. So Beth.
Oh gosh.
Ooh, that was smooth.
Beth, how are you feeling given I'm requiring most of this to be blind? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you scared? Are you worried that a certain individual has submitted a question?
Oh my God. I wasn't until you mentioned that at the end. But I am kind of a mix between excited and scared. I'm treating this the same way I treat escape rooms, where oftentimes I don't read the story and I just go in blind, especially the scary ones. And then I have a great time at the end. So I'm really, really hoping that's the same situation here on Escape Break.
That's awesome. Now, Tati, I'm not worried at all about your ability to draft some really poignant questions. How are you feeling about the questions you have ready for Beth? Are you excited for her answers?
Yeah, I think it's a good mix of serious and fun. And I think it's a good balance.
Tati had reminded me before when we were thinking about this episode, one of the things we used to do on the Cager Express when we interviewed people was a 30-second time limit, and the guest gets to describe who they are. So Beth, when you're ready,
oh God,
I'm going to hand it off to you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell any listener who you are, why you're in escape rooms, why you love escape rooms, just a little summary of yourself, which for some people can be the hardest thing to do.
It sure could be.
Are you ready?
I'm going to call this a first take.
All right. Your 30 seconds begins now.
I am Beth Dybel. I've been involved in escape room since 2017, freshly out of high school. And ever since I fell into it, fell in love, was super into it. Since then I've done 253 escape rooms, mostly in Southern California. The community in Southern California is my rock. I love that community. So huge shout out to the SoCal escape room peeps. And that's pretty much it. I'm a big escape room girl, hence Escape Break.
Nice. Woo!
30 second crash course on Beth. That was good, Beth.
Thank you. I was like, do I throw in anything else? No, that's what the questions are for.
If yes. You're a regular, you know I have a propensity of springing things on my lovely two co-hosts without telling them. That was real time, first take, one take Jake.
No more take Jake.
All right, so you know a little bit about Beth. She's much more than 30 seconds worth, so we're going to take a whole episode to get to know her, starting with some escape room related questions. I'm going to start with something pretty light. Beth?
Yes.
This question is from one of our listeners.
Are we shouting out the listeners, Kai?
Can we?
In most cases, I will.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
If I think there will be some controversy behind it, I'll keep the name anonymous. But this is from one of our hardcore listeners out in Florida. This is Noah, the pickle shake king. If you don't know, figure it out. He's had a pickle shake before, and it's awesome. But he's an escape room enthusiast, former game master, used to work at the basement, and has been always supporting us. And we've had the pleasure to meet him almost a year ago now. But Beth, your first question is this. Going into 2024, what in your mind is in and what is out in the escape room world? Like, where are the trends going with what we're going to see in this new year?
Oh, that is such a good question, because truly, I do not know, but I'm excited to find out. However, I've been doing a ton of research on places like Level 99 and Bodaborg, you know, like escape room facilities that have tons of mini escape room challenges within the same facility. And I'm hoping that I see more of those. I'm hoping I see one pop up in California. I mean, granted, California has a million rules and I got hurt at both of those facilities, but it was so worth it. I'm really hoping we can get one open closer to California. I know there's Bam Kazam in Arizona. I think that's like a 6-hour drive. I want to see more of those popping up. I feel like they're a really lucrative business if you can manage to put out 40 different experiences in one building. Mm-hmm. And really allows for tons of people to experience an escape room-esque kind of activity rather than having to dedicate a full hour if they don't know what they're signing up for.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping I see more of that.
That would be cool. Tati and I went to Bam Kazam. It was a lot of fun. We are looking forward to things that are even more intricate than Bam Kazam, maybe even a little longer. Like Bam mm-hmm. Kazam, each room was like 30 seconds to 3 minutes maximum. So yeah, we're like, wait, it's like over. We want to keep going.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to Boston next, the three of us.
Nice.
Let's do it.
And Beth, do you think anything's going to fade out significantly in 2024?
Fading out. I think public booking should fade out. There's a handful of escape rooms out there that still do public booking. And, you know, while you can meet some really, really great people in some of these escape rooms, I'm just going to put some emphasis on some of these escape rooms. And a lot of times, in my experience, you'll sometimes run into groups that just don't want to work with you or don't really want to get along with you. And I'm just really hoping that public booking sort of phases out like it should have a few years ago.
I think we can all agree with that here. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm honestly surprised that after COVID, it didn't just phase out.
I know. It's crazy. And it was very soon after, like, everything was lifted that some of these escape rooms were like, all right, public booking's back on. And I was like, no, I'm a little uncomfy with all of this. Being locked in a group with people who may or may not have COVID when COVID's floating around in the world.
Yeah, I am. Maybe this is a future episode of Key Questions, but I am curious to know, maybe you have the insight on this, Beth, of what the numbers would be between the public and the private industry. So maybe
we
can
be interesting.
Dive deep into that for a future episode.
I like that. Get into the analytics.
Yeah, to see why they still do public.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, you know, to make more money, max out those games, get more 6-player than 2-player games, but still, I'm like, is it worth it?
All right, Beth. So Kai gave you a question for the future, and I'm going to take it back to the past. So my question is kind of a two-parter. First part is, what drew you into escape rooms in the first place?
Oh, I actually love telling this story. I had to do 2 escape rooms to truly get into escape rooms. And they were both at Exodus Escape Room in Rancho Cucamonga. And I think it was like my senior year of high school. My friend was like, let's go do an escape room. And I thought, never heard of it, never done it. Why not? And so we went and we did Trap Room, which you start out in handcuffs and you're in the dark the whole time. And this is a discontinued game, so no spoilers here. And I was like a lost puppy. I had no clue what was happening, no idea what was going on, but I was intrigued. I wanted to do it again. And, you know, I mean, I was in high school, so we didn't have like cars or money. So we had to wait a whole year to go back and do another one. And we did Quake Escape. And at this point, I had met Connor, who became my manager shortly after that. And I basically just asked him a bunch of questions about the room. And in Quake Escape, everything clicked. I understood what an escape room was now. I was like, oh, puzzles, got it. It's all making sense. So I walked out of that room with the most insane escape room high I probably have ever had. And I'm like, do you guys just run these games? How do you work here? What do I do to get here? And I got hired like 2 weeks later, and I ended up being like one of the younger employees at Exodus that just, you know, stayed there forever and moved up and became a manager. And during my journey there was when I started doing beta tests, going out to LA and playing better rooms and traveling a little bit more. And suddenly I went from 2 rooms to 100 very, very quickly. So that really sparked everything.
Working at escape rooms, I'm sure that happens a lot.
Especially when all of your coworkers are like, oh my God, we all like escape rooms. Let's go do one.
Yeah, exactly. So from what do you think about those first rooms that really captured? If you could like pick one thing, what do you think it was?
I think in Quake Escape, I did get a little sassy at some point because my group, like we were all pretty new to this and we were paired with another group who had never done this before. And I got a puzzle. I was like, oh, I understand this and I am confident. And no one else was getting it. And everyone just kept asking me questions. And I was like, well, you're supposed to do this and you have to do this. And then we should be able to open it. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it was like, there were no thoughts behind anybody's eyes. And I got so sassy and frustrated. And I was like, move. Then I just opened it. And in that moment, when I opened the first thing by myself, I was like, I could do this entire thing on my own, probably with a little bit of assistance. But I think when I solved that by myself, I think that completely started my love for solving puzzles.
The puzzles gotcha, huh?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah.
So my second part of the question would be, do you think that still stands today, 6 years later?
Oh, yeah. I think there are definitely puzzles that will keep me up at night. Like I will go and play a room, and if I solve something, like I will think back on it for a minute and be like, that was really good. That one caught my attention, kept me there for a while. It made sense. Every step made sense. Or sometimes like I hit a wall and I'm like, oh, they got me there. That was a good one. So I really, really enjoy the puzzles. I have a moment with them, you know?
Yeah.
Beth loves puzzles for sure. For sure.
Are you a puzzle fiend, Beth?
I will say I'm a puzzle fiend. I tell people all the time at work because I'm like the escape room girl at work and everybody's just like, okay, cool. But I tell them all the time, if we go do team building and it's me playing rooms, it's going to be unhinged, chaotic, crazy. Like I'm scaling walls like Spider-Man trying to find puzzles. And everyone else is like, dude, chill. And I go, you don't get it. This is not the level that you guys are at yet.
Now, there's a strange but enticing energy about Beth when the room is started and the energy comes out. It's really awesome.
Yeah. So if we're ever in a room together in the future, to any listeners, good luck, Godspeed.
All right, Beth. My question to you, getting a little bit more spicy.
Oh my gosh.
What is one of your most controversial opinions about the escape room industry?
I feel like this was recently uncovered in an episode.
Let's hear it.
I think it's the fact that I considered The Nest as an escape room and Mr. Cager Kai got really pissed at me.
I certainly did.
literally fought to the death regarding. No, just kidding.
Let's hear about it.
I will say my opinion has adjusted, but it has not completely changed. I will stand on the fact that I do think it's an escape room, just not necessarily a great escape room. I think it's a great immersive experience with escape room elements, but the escape room elements are not as strong to be able to identify as like a straight up escape room, I think.
If we were in front of the escape room gods, and they were deciding to create two worlds divided, or one world had believers that the nest was an escape room, and the other world had believers that the nest was simply an immersive experience, and the world's cracking down the middle, and you see me on the left and the believers on the right, which world do you decide to live in?
I know her answer by silence.
Like, I would live on the escape room side, not the immersive side.
Just got dark. I appreciate your honesty, Beth. That's going to stay with me forever.
Are you saying would the nest live or would I live? Because I thought you said you.
No, where would you live? Would you live with the people who say it's not an escape room? Or with
We got to start over. I completely misunderstood what you were saying.
There's hope.
I would say that the nest lands on the immersive side. I know that goes against what I said, but I do think the nest would land on the immersive side, considering there's less than a handful of puzzles that I remember.
I just passed the bar. If you need any lawyer help, hit me up.
When you form the question that way, it really just reveals the answer before it's answered.
So I think, Ty, did you say it's an escape room or not? Not immersiveness, right?
Yes.
So Beth, do you think it's an escape room or not? Take out the immersive part.
Well, I mean,
what would we call it then?
No. To be fair, the left side is it's not an escape room. It's an immersive experience.
It doesn't make sense because the way she described it was a great immersive experience, but a bad escape room.
I mean, getting up and living life is a bad escape room, is it not?
Sure.
All the twists mornings. And turns. Mondays, one of the worst escape rooms out there, if we're going to be liberal.
The Sunday scaries.
Oh, man. That's the worst. They need to retire that one.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess to sum everything down, I just don't want to say it. If I say the words in a different order, I'll make you have more work so you can edit me say the actual sentence. So I'm going to tell you, nest, not escape room.
Okay, escape room. We have one more escape room related question for Beth from the listeners.
Do it.
And this is from Tyler from Skeleton Key.
Tyler.
And they want to know, as Coda is actively evolved in escape room industries, is there anything that owners, builders, and designers can do better to accommodate the deaf community in our games?
Oh, I love this question.
So, oh, Beth, my gosh. Before you answer, can you give us a little background on why that question is relevant here?
So to all of our listeners, CODA stands for Child of Deaf Adults, which basically means that I am a child and both of my parents are deaf. And sign language is my first language. I'm very passionate about the deaf community and, you know, providing benefits to the deaf community and hard of hearing community that, you know, could thrive off of this. They're not as included in the hearing world because we don't really provide a lot of options to let them be a part of it besides subtitles. And people think like that is the solution. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the solution, but it's not the entire thing. Subtitles provide, like, that's the biggest thing. You know, that's like the big thing that everyone's like, we solved the problems, but the problems are not solved.
Yeah.
You can read what's happening, but you still don't really get what's going on. But in regards to escape rooms, I think subtitles and being able to have all of your audio clues written down on paper ahead of time and having those like laminated and ready to go are such great ways to be able to make your room just readable at least. And if you have like really cool effects that are visual and, you know, if you need an audio clue to be able to like turn your head to notice that there is a special effect happening in the room, maybe add in lighting. So that way you can have like a spotlight turn on and then whoever's in the room can be like, why is that on? Direct your attention. There's a cool explosion happening, rather than the explosion happens, you hear it and you turn around to react. Mm-hmm. A deaf person's not going to be able to do the same thing. So you have to throw in more visuals. You have to throw in lighting. You have to throw in maybe the ground shaking. Like they're really big on touch and seeing. So throwing in elements that touch on those can really make their experience a lot more immersive than just having the audio tell the story. But that would be my suggestion. Throw in those subtitles, throw in more effects, throw in more visual effects, and turn all of those audible clues into something that's readable.
Yeah. Yeah. Beth, have you actually seen any rooms that are taking strides there or have like come forth to say that this is an emphasis of theirs?
I haven't seen it like just posted online or anything like that, but I do know that Christine at the Exit Game OC does want to like makes an effort towards making her rooms ADA compliant. Mm-hmm. So I do know like during beta test they brought somebody in who was wheelchair bound to make sure that she could reach everything, make sure she could play the game, make sure she didn't need any help if she was alone. Mm-hmm. And I believe she might have been doing something similar with at least just making it able to be done by people who can't hear.
That's awesome. That's certainly really cool. Starts with the owners being aware and wanting to. So a question like this from Tyler and Skeleton Key down here in San Diego is a great thing to see.
Yeah, that's a great question. I really love that question.
They're very inclusive there as well. I've heard some of their plans for a future room and how they want to accommodate to everybody. And that's so nice to hear. It's very refreshing.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can't even say how many rooms I've gone into where I'm like, oh, if my dad came in here, he could not even walk through here.
I have a question relating to that. For you said touch and like feeling is a really big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a way that you can alter the audio so that they can feel it more, so that they could feel like, because you know how there's like the immersive music that happens? That kind of ties you into the game. Is there a way to make it so that they can feel the beats better?
Yeah, I think it will depend on what they're touching, where they're standing, and how the sound quality is. I remember bringing my parents into our Quake Escape room, and we used to have like subwoofers in throughout the room for the Quake experience. And if my parents were standing in the center of the room, they didn't feel anything. They would maybe feel a little vibration in their ear, but then if they went to go stand at a table or they were sitting down, they were able to feel all the vibrations. Mm. So I think if you have like high quality speakers with like a good bass, that could be enough to be able to get them to feel that. But I think it also depends on the person, because there are so many like deafness just ranges. So some people are hard of hearing and they can hear like a little bit. And some people, there's like nothing. They don't even hear a vibration. And usually if they have cochlear implants, they don't hear vibrations without their implants or without their cochlears. So it really depends. I think if you have really good speakers though, and you're touching a table or you're holding an item that's like similar to a balloon, which I don't know what that item would be besides a balloon, then they would be able to feel a little bit better there. Because my dad always told me that at like his school dances and stuff, everyone would have a balloon in their hands and they would play the music and they could feel the vibration through the balloon.
That's so fascinating.
Yeah. So if anyone's building an escape room specifically for deaf people, maybe throw in something like that. It's a common experience.
That seems like something that's attainable, right? Like if they know in advance and people are like, okay, here, we provided a balloon for you. Mm-hmm. That seems like such a simple way to add inclusiveness.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be a really cool like Morse code puzzle. If you had a balloon sitting on something and you touch it and it just goes meep, 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 meep. Anyone can do it. Anyone can solve that. If you know Morse code.
Yeah, there's that too.
I mean, to be fair, requirements. We shun upon Morse code being the veterans that we are, but if it was delivered through balloon to us, I would think that's a cool way to distribute it.
Oh yeah. Listen, I got auditory processing, not even problems, issues. I got issues. So when I hear Morse code and everyone's like, oh, that was a long one and a short one, I'm like, you got it. You got this.
Oh, that's the one puzzle Beth doesn't want.
Yeah. Or if there's like somebody saying like, here's your next clue, I'm like, I have to read it. I'm sorry.
That's funny. All right, Beth. Cool. Well, despite your issues, we do love you. We're going to get into some deeper questions here in the middle of the episode. So I'm going to start with Tati to get more of these kind of get to know you about you questions outside of escape rooms.
So that's actually my first question. It's not really deep, but I want to know what you do for fun outside of escape rooms.
Oh my gosh. I love this question. outside of escape rooms, I really love to like play cozy games on my Switch. And cozy games, you know, I'm not like a first person shooter kind of person. I am definitely an Animal Crossing and Stardew kind of girl. I play a lot of those games. If you guys want to add me on the Switch, just message me. We could be friends, you guys. I'll go on your island, you on my island, I'll give you fruit, whatever. But other than that, I also really love theater. I love music. Ironically, my parents are deaf, but I grew up singing after I discovered that the radio actually exists in our car when I was 10 years old. So funny thing, they're just buttons. I thought they were to like drive the car. My parents don't tell me things. And I hit one of the buttons and music started playing. And after I heard the radio, I never shut it off. It never bothered my parents. And from like maybe fifth grade and on, I just loved singing. I loved doing musical theater. I loved acting. I just loved performing. I feel like I had so much energy that I was like, dude, the streets can't handle this. The classrooms can't handle this. I have to be put on a stage because I am loud enough to fill this place and no one's going to be like, hey girl, shush. But that's what I like doing. I'm just a big performing arts nerd who really likes immersive experiences, escape rooms, and music, cozy games, obviously puzzles.
Yes.
That's cool. Beth, did I tell you I got to see Hadestown?
Oh my God. What did you think?
I don't think the audio even got how high pitched your reaction was.
That musical tears my heart out of my chest and puts it back in and goes, you're welcome.
Beth, I wasn't ready. I was not ready. I cried. Like, tears were falling down my eyes. I was not ready for it, but it was fantastic.
It's so good. I've seen it. I've seen like online bootlegs, and then I saw it live at the Amundsen. And I know the story. I know the story like it was my own. And I got to, no, I actually, it started and I started bawling and I'm like, great, great. Cause they go, it's a sad song. It's a sad tale. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I know it is, but it's a high energy, exciting song. So no one thinks anything of it. Then you get to the end and you're like, oh great. I'm dead inside. Nothing matters. Yep.
I know.
And then you have like a crisis for a few days. That's just me. If anybody else gets that, let me know. Let me know if I'm overreacting. I'm so glad you watched it though. It's so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, Beth, my question to you, I'm going to give you, do you want the harder one or the easier one?
Oh. Are there other ways that you could describe the questions besides hard and easy?
Do you want the one that could potentially be trauma inducing or the one that's more philosophical?
Oh, not a fan of either. Let's go with trauma.
Really? Okay.
Let's start with trauma and end on hopefully a lighter note.
All right, Beth. Well, you can certainly decide to switch if you don't like this question, but I wanted to know, Can you describe to the listeners, without revealing anything too personal, what the hardest moment that you've ever overcome in your life is?
Oh, man. How do I summarize like 24 years?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Beth. Once we get through this section, we get to the silly questions.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm going to be honest. Truly, I am an open book. I think I'll go with a couple different ones, but one of the hardest things that I had to go through was probably my parents' divorce when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That made me grow up really, really fast, which actually might have been really nice because I don't think I would have had that same work ethic if I didn't have to go through that. Like, I was an only child with deaf parents who were divorced that also needed help with communicating. So I ended up being very independent and comfortable talking to people.
Yeah.
And I just don't think my work ethic would have ended up that same way if I didn't have that, bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would have been involved in escape rooms, to be honest. Like, because working at Exodus was a challenge in a few different ways. And I probably would have quit at any point if I did not, if I wasn't stubborn in a workplace and I wasn't so like goal oriented, because I just always kept thinking it's hard now, but you're going to get out and it's going to get better. So I'm like 8 years old being like, it's hard now, but we're going to get out when we're 18.
That's really valuable. I mean, throughout the show, we've always stumbled upon like a motivational quote, but there you are saying another one, right? It's going to get better. If you've ever been around Beth, especially in the workplace, she's really great with people. So to hear that that event might have changed whether or not you were going to be in escape rooms, whether you'd be working with people, I've personally seen you as a game master, you as a friend, and you now in your new job and how you've slowly rose up in there. And I think it has to do with how good you are with people and how you talk.
Yeah, I do love talking to people. Like, I work in an office now and I have great coworkers. I work in a really awesome place, but I really miss the chaos and the high energy that was like Starbucks and escape rooms. And especially with escape rooms, I loved talking to people. So it's been a little hard trying to adjust to like my quiet little desk. Yeah. And I go like my little tip tapping on my keyboard and all of that. And then my day's over. I don't have any crazy stories to tell people. I don't get to tell people like, oh yeah, a grown man climbed into my ceiling in the escape room today. I told him nothing was in the ceiling. He thought I was lying. I don't get any of those anymore, but that's okay. I'll have crazier stories in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, our jobs, whether corporate, startup, or government, we don't usually get that type of story. Maybe Tati the most, but
I get some pretty cool stories.
But we can talk about that when we get to her episode. Tati, off to you. Next question for Beth.
Oh, well, do you want to ask the other serious one? Because mine goes back into funny.
Oh, we can transition to funny. I don't want to put Beth under the hot seat too much. I'll save this other serious question for you, Tati.
Oh, fantastic. Can't wait. So mine goes to Beth's hair color.
Oh.
And there's a couple questions here regarding your hair color. So one, what was your favorite hair color that you've had?
I would have to say blue. My favorite look was when I had the short hair, blue on the underside, and my natural brown hair on top.
Okay, why was that?
I just loved how that blue looked. I have brown eyes, brown hair, and I just wasn't expecting blue to pair so well with it. And I felt like it just brought out my eyes. And, when you're a brown eyed girly, sometimes you're just like, they're just brown.
I get that.
Yeah. But then like they're beautiful. Like, the sunlight hits your eyes and you got like pots of honey, and then you're, a goddess standing there with brown eyes that are beautiful. But I thought the blue just really paired nicely with it. And it was just fun. I didn't really know anybody that had blue hair at the time. And I was like, cool, I'm the blue haired girl. I'll take it.
So are we bringing that back, Beth?
Yes.
I wish. I want to so badly.
Why?
Oh, go ahead.
Why not?
I had to switch my hair to a natural hair color for my job.
That office job, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I like, I really begged. I was like, please, like, this is, I'm begging. And, you know, they sought me out. Like, they were like, hey, you should come in and we'll talk. And I go, okay. And then I got a job and I was like, oh, okay. But then during that, I go, hey, I'm happy with this offer as long as I can keep my colored hair. Like, this is, there's like an ongoing joke in the community, you guys. Like, every time I hop on an episode, Kai goes, what hair color do you have? And it was different. I'm like, please, this is a part of the jokes. I need my jokes. They said it was okay, but then like our HR basically said that it wasn't okay. And I was like, so there was miscommunication and I was really poor. So I was like, all right, I got to take the job.
Honestly, it doesn't make you work worse or better, whatever. Oh, yeah. It's so silly.
I agree. It did not change my professionalism at all. Like, I was still a manager at other places and people were always, I even had people go, oh my gosh, you have pink hair. And I go, yeah, dyed it myself. And they go, you're so professional. And I go, yep, it did not seep into my brain like people think it does. Like, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, my hair color has zero effect on my professionalism and my abilities. The piercing in my nose has no effect on my abilities. And I'm like, I'm sorry that it's distracting. You're just snaps. Ordering a coffee.
Snaps, snaps. That's how I feel the same way, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm so passionate about it. I'm glad you are, too.
I have one more question regarding hair. If you had hair that changed the color of your mood, so it's like a mood ring, but with your hair, what color would you have the most?
Okay. I love
yeah, go for it.
The combo of like purple, pink, and blue. So I think, ooh, I would switch between those colors if I could. But I don't know what would be what. I think like,
so I'm thinking like red is upset or angry, right? Mm-hmm. And then blue is kind of sad. Yeah. I feel like purple is kind of more like confident.
Yeah, I was thinking purple for like a Friday night. I was getting like nightlife purple.
Yes.
For some reason, I was thinking of them as like morning, afternoon, and night. Like morning would be pink because I'm like, good morning, world. And then I like step into blue and then I step into purple. And then everyone's like, what is wrong with your hair?
That'd be super cool.
Be fantastic.
I want that so bad.
By the way, I may end up splicing the 30 seconds where you described yourself to your comment of saying, and then the sun hits my eyes and I have pots of honey and I'm a goddess. We'll see.
Sometimes I just say things and I forget they came out of my mouth.
Oh no.
And then I'm like, why did I okay.
All right, Beth, a couple more questions. One, the last one from our listeners. This is from, I'll let you guess who this is from actually. But please answer this as thoroughly and honestly as possible.
Why do I want to say it's Ron?
I will let you know that you are 100% correct, and I haven't even read the question. From Ron.
Oh, boy.
To Beth.
Oh, man.
Who is better at escape rooms and more fun to play with? Kai or Tati? No BS in your answer.
Dang, I've only done like three rooms with Beth.
I was about to say, I'm like, I cannot accurately answer this because I don't think Tati and I have done any rooms on our own.
Not just the two of us.
Yeah, we haven't done any together. Kai and I have done a ton together. Yeah. Because he's
Ron,
down here,
you're
so
setting Kai up for like feeling great about himself right now.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to not answer that question because I don't have the, you know, supporting evidence that I need. And I'm going to go ahead and flip the question onto Ron. Ron, I hope you're listening. Who do you think is the best escaper out of Escape Break? Tati, Kai, or Beth? And how do you feel about this question?
Oh, man.
Was that the trauma one or was that the
No, that was just Ron meddling, honestly. That's okay. I'm gonna give you a question from me. I'm okay that you didn't choose me directly. Thanks for keeping the peace here between the three of us.
We all knew that answer.
Yeah. Ron knew the answer. Yeah. By the way, love you, Ron. Thank you for submitting your awful question.
All right, Beth.
It hurt.
Here's my silly question to you.
Oh, yay.
Describe a character you would want to play in an immersive adventure. How would they look? And more specifically, what would they sound like?
Oh, okay. I don't know why, but I first started imagining like Walking Dead, like zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
Don't know why, because I don't want to be there. But I think that's what the character would be. I think the character would be like, oh God, I'm stuck in this. And now I have to deal with it. But I feel like they'd be super sassy. They would have, you know, the best one-liners and like unhinged one-liners. You know, the ones that don't make sense. And then you think about it for a second and you're like, that was kind of stupid funny though. Like I think I would just be the comedic relief in a zombie apocalypse. Okay. Like like that, I don't know her name, but that there's one girl in Zombielands. Yeah. Who's very like twirl hair and chewing gum.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm imagining that, but like every so often I really pull through when it needs to happen. But then any other time, I'm just there for relief.
The one Zombieland 2 specifically?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why that was the first thing that I imagined, but probably because we did a scary room recently and that was kind of my energy, except more scared, but definitely saying some unhinged things.
That was good times.
Like, screaming in a locked room, thinking yes. I was going to die. I was not going to die. And then I came out and I'm like, oh, I'm not dead.
Yes. If you want to hear about that franticness, you can scroll back a couple episodes. I believe two episodes ago, we talked about it. It's the 60 out episode.
Yes. Right, I think I'd just be funny.
You got any more silly questions for Beth?
Just one more regular question.
Oh, a regular. Okay.
Just a regular question.
Go for a regular and then I'll end it with a silly. And then okay. Beth, you've survived.
Yay.
So this doesn't have to be just escape room related, Beth, but what are you looking forward to the most this year?
I am looking forward to working on my health this year, my mental health and my physical health. That if you're close to me, you'll know that I have been struggling a little bit with my health the last couple of years. Nothing super serious, just like I'm really anxious and my body is like, let's implode because of it. So I am making more of an active effort to listen to my body more and understand what it's asking, because I had been neglecting it for so long that I sort of started to forget how to take care of myself and not really understand what some of these cues were. So hopefully this year our health will be figured the heck out.
I love that. That's a great goal.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're here to support you, as you know.
Thank you, my escape break family.
Yes. Beth, your final question has to do with escape break.
Oh.
My question to you is simply, there have now been 60 episodes of Escape Break. What is one memory of Escape Break that has either stuck in your head because it was so fun, or stuck in your head because it was so weird, or stuck in your head because you're like, man, I wish we had a do-over and we could do that again?
Oh, man. I have two that pop up. So, well, the first one I will never forget, and it's that Palm Springs trip that we took.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there was like a dust storm happening on the way home. Yeah. And I don't even know what time it was. It was so late, it felt like. And there's just this dust storm, and we did three escape rooms, and we're like, can we escape this freeway?
Yeah.
Can we get out of this freeway? But that was how Escape Break was born. It was a very long drive, and there was a lot to talk about. And we were like, oh, we can make just this car ride into a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We had to
pull
over. I'll
never forget that. Yeah. We got microphones set up and we had them like sitting on the dash. And then the other one that I will also never forget, but for less fond reasons, was the silence and how I had like a full blown anxiety attack in front of Kai.
Yes, you
like,
did.
I had never done that. Like, mine have never been in front of people. And I was sitting on the floor, like huddled in a little ball. And I'm trying to solve this puzzle. And Kai's like, you got this. You got this. And I go, and I forgot what I was thinking. And I got the first two, but then I forgot it. Then I'm like about to collapse. But that was also super fun. Like, that was kind of when I started to lean more into, like, girl, go do scary rooms. Like, get it together. You need some exposure therapy. So, yeah, that was like a funny, crazy, bad for a moment, but very funny to look back on moment that I really, really love. Nice. And also the trip to Louisiana, of course. Like, I can't forget that one either. That was when all of us did escape rooms together. We did a ton of escape rooms. We did 13th Gate, which, like, I can't even include in my rankings because it's just kind of not fair for yeah. some of the games.
And 2/3 of us got sick.
Yeah. Oh, man. We did come home with COVID. Hey, people who escape together get sick together.
Heck yeah.
We're locked in a room. It was bound to happen.
That was rough. That was rough.
Yeah. What is COVID, guys? Good things. What's COVID? I don't know what that is.
It's a room that existed in 2020, but you can only find it at certain pop-ups now and then.
Yeah. Called Outbreak.
Well, Beth, you survived the hot seat. Woo-hoo! For the listeners, thanks for learning about Beth. Thanks for supporting us. You can certainly ask more questions to our Instagram page, and we'll look to feature them on future episodes here and there. But Beth, because this episode's about you, I'm going to let you close out the episode and say goodbye.
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot for closing this out. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to Escape Break. I appreciate all of you out there. Keep on escaping, keep on listening, and stay tuned for some other fun episodes where a couple others will be in the hot seats.
Hey, Kai, guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course. There's so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next escape break.